Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the best football show, hosted by Brian Baldinger.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Brian Baldinger with the best football show. We're here just about every single day. I'm here on my beautiful little bubble here, third floor at NFL Films. Just got done watching both Monday night games and looking back at some of the action this past week, and I want to kind of tell you what I saw. You can get this. Just download your Odyssey app right here. I mean, it's for free. Like it, subscribe to it. You know, tell your friends about it. We're here. You can find all of my material out there from NFL Media, NFL Network, at Baldy NFL on Twitter, on X, Threads, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. Anyways, let's get to it. Let's get to Monday Night Football. Because, you know, what we saw was the first game was not a good game. But what we did see was Will Levis, you know, got injured, all right, just trying to, on a third down throw early in the game. I don't know what happened exactly. But regardless, I mean, he had a wide open receiver, didn't make the throw, decided to run. Calais Campbell hit him. He's out. Here comes Mason Rudolph. Literally three plays later, they run exactly the same play on the other side of the field. A little stick route to defeat the zone coverage. Right between the hook curl and curl flat defender, the tight end sits down, and Mason Rudolph gets the ball to him. And I just thought in that moment, like, veteran quarterbacks make easy throws. Will Levis doesn't see the field particularly well. Yes, he's got a cannon for an arm. He's big, strong, strapping kid. But this is a team, after last night's win, that should easily be 3-1 right now. That Callahan is doing a good job coaching this team. They play hard. They play the right way. They play without their best defensive player yesterday in Jeffrey Simmons. The rookie Tavondre Sweat made up the slack. Sebastian Joseph Day, like, he played great. No, they play hard. They play the right way. Tony Pollard, you know, he's a good back. They run the ball really well. They got a young offensive line. Callahan's doing a good job. His dad's put it together. But really, you have to make this decision. Do you try to develop Will Levis right now or stay with Mason Rudolph, who helped you win a game last night? Because while Will Levis might develop into a big-time quarterback, remains to be seen, he's not making good decisions with the ball. And he's made some critical errors against the Jets and against the Bears that cost him the game. Helped cost him. I'm not saying it was all on him. So Mason Rudolph looked good last night. You know, got the ball to his receivers and made some big plays, and they ran the ball when they got a lead. And, you know, here we are. Miami, it's just a weird trade, honestly, for Tyler Huntley in this offense. I mean, I know they've had injuries. You know, Skyler gets hurt and Tua's out. But it's just a weird – he can't get the ball to the wide receivers right now. They've just gone two games. You know, they can't score touchdowns. It's just frustrating to watch. And, you know, and everything just sort of falls apart now. If you can't get the ball to Tyreek Hill and you can't get the ball to Jalen Waddle, it falls apart. The offensive line looks, you know, underwhelmed the way that they play. But it's just like Tyler Huntley is a good backup quarterback. He's good in a system where, he's a good runner. He's not a bad decision maker. He's not a guy that's going to, okay, they're taking this side of the field away. I'll look at Tyreek Hill on the go route, read the safety. You know, he hasn't played enough to really make those kind of decisions. And so the offense looks stagnant, and it has been since Tua went out. They weren't great with Tua in there, but it really looks bad right now. Makes Mike McDaniel look bad, and I think he's a good offensive mind. But it's just hard to watch, and congratulations, Tennessee. They earned that game last night. They've got a lot of good things going on. Second game was a shootout. And, you know, there's a couple huge plays. But, I mean, honestly, Detroit was at their best. Everything. Jared Goff, 18 for 18. They put up 42 points. Laporta's involved. Jameson Williams goes house, 70 yards and a crosser. He's as good a big play receiver as there is in football right now, including Tyreek Hill. I mean, you name it. Like this guy, Rashid Shaheed, just name the guys that can take it to the house on any given play. Jameson Williams is that guy. They got to get the ball to him. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown is just as dependable as they come. And then when you start feeding David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, they just figured out how to split the carries up. They both have tremendous strengths. And behind an offensive line, but without their all-pro center, Frank Ragnow, They just shuffle the left guard over, put in the backup left guard. They don't skip a beat. The matchup in the game, though, that was really fun to watch and study today, honestly, was DK Metcalf against Carlton Davis. That's a great matchup. Carlton Davis is a great corner. He was for Tampa. He won a Super Bowl with Carlton Davis at corner. Like, he's a legitimate corner. You put him and Terrion Arnold on the outside in Detroit right now, they can play man coverage. Now, they mix it up. They don't play just man. But, you know, it's the biggest play in the game is, you know, DK Metcalf catches the pass on the second series, and he's running. He's trying to get extra yards, and here comes Jack Campbell coming and punching the ball out, and there goes Carlton Davis scooping it, trying to score, gets tackled by Kenneth Walker. A couple plays later, Detroit scores, are up 14-0, and Seattle was chasing all game long. And, look, Seattle competes like crazy. I mean, Geno keeps you in a game now. You know, that's a one-score game, 28-20, 35-27. It's a one-score game into the fourth quarter. They needed a stop. They couldn't make a stop. But very competitive game. Two good teams. You know, Seattle's a good team. They get the Giants up there at home on a short week. They should be able to rebound. But I'm not going to predict that game or anything like it. But they're two good teams. Geno Smith, I don't know, he threw for almost 400 yards last night in catch-up mode. They all get the ball. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett, you know, DK got his share. You know, Kenneth Walker is an incredible back with Zach Charbonnet. They got balance in their offense. The offense coordinator is legit. So I think both teams look like playoff teams to me. We'll see what happens. A lot of football to be played, but Mike McDonald's doing a good job. Let's go to Atlanta this past weekend, because that was a great game between the Saints and the Falcons. And, you know, the Falcons, look, they've won two games now, you know, against the Eagles, you know, score a touchdown, go the distance, 70 yards, score a game-winning touchdown. And last week, like, they really, I mean, Younghoe Koo kicks a 58-yarder to win the game. And they make one play when they get the ball back with a minute to go. But in large part, they were able to win the game because of the play of their middle linebacker, Troy Anderson. Now, you got to understand, Troy Anderson, number 44, he had 16 tackles. He had three tackle for losses. He intercepted a pass for a touchdown. He single-handedly won the game for him. And if you look at what Raheem did, you know, from a defensive standpoint and a scheme standpoint, they basically played him as a kind of a single linebacker. I know Ellis is the other off-the-ball inside linebacker, but they basically put, you know, six up the line of scrimmage, and they just let Troy Anderson just run and chase. Covered him up, let him go run and chase and make one play after another. And it's interesting because Troy came out of Montana State, and, man, when he was there, he was a quarterback. He was a running back. He played some linebacker. He went back and forth between his positions. Basically, but, you know, for a year, year and a half, he was a quarterback. And you watch him the other day. He's 6'3 and change. He's 245 pounds. He runs in the 4.4s, and he smashes everything that he hits. He made one play after another against Kamara where, you know, they're trying to score. They're first and goal at the 5. He makes two tackle for losses. And the Saints, you know, missed the throw on fourth down. They stop him down there inside the 5. Anderson makes those plays. Here's Matt Judon coming and rushing, you know, Derek Carr. The ball gets tipped up on a little screen pass. And here's Troy Anderson coming down with it and going house call with it. What a game for Troy Anderson, honestly. I mean, 16 or 17 tackles, solo shots, you know, single-handedly stopping Kamara. And just, you know, I mean, they Taysom Hill, you name it. He was impressive. I want to give props to him because Atlanta found a way to win a game against a Saints team that played great. They had control of the game for most of it. They couldn't make a score when they had to make a score. And credit Troy Anderson and the Falcons defense for preventing them to do it. Let's get to the Raiders game. It was a good game, real good game against Cleveland. Cleveland's defense is really good. It was really tough. But they got some good runs, you know. But defensively, no Max Crosby. For the first time, Max has been in this league now 5 years. He's never missed a game. And since he took over as a starter in week 4 of his rookie year, he started every game, regular season and postseason games. Max has been out there in the field. He's been literally the leader of the whole team, regardless who's the coach, coordinator, Antonio Pierce coming in, whatever. He's been the leader. He misses his first game. He's got a high ankle sprain. He's not going to get any better by playing. He knows it. He had to, like, bite the bullet and sit out. Man, you talk about an effort. Adam Butler, Christian Wilkins, Tyree Wilson, Chase. Let me see here. I don't want to get some of these names. I don't want to get them wrong. Like, there's so many guys that you got to pay attention to in that game right there. You know, like Nesta Jade Silvera, right? He showed up. Charles Snowden had the final sack of the game. 6'7" outside linebacker, you know, that can run. Gets the sack on Deshaun Watson to finish the game out on fourth down. Like, just a complete effort. Janarius Robinson, every time he gets a chance, he shows up. John Jenkins inside. But it was just a really, really, you know, there's no Malcolm Kuntz. You know, Tyree Wilson shows up, plays with effort. Adam Butler played possessed. And I actually did a breakdown on the Raiders' defensive front minus Max Crosby. And within seconds, Max retweeted it, hit me up on it, like he appreciated. Like, that's you know, they were like a band of brothers. That's how you got to play the game. Look, the Raiders aren't a great team. They play without Davante Adams, okay, and they play without Max Crosby. Probably their two best players. They found a way to win a game. They're 2-2. They're like the rest of the league right now. They're in it. You know, they didn't lose a game. And look, Cleveland, you know, they have a touchdown call back to Amari Cooper that's going to open up the game and win it 70 yards. You know, Deshaun hits them and it comes back because of a penalty. That's just, you know, they're just beating themselves. It's a shame. And then, you know, I talked a little bit about Mason Rudolph, but, you know, you watch this Colts game and the Colts lose Anthony Richardson, I don't know, in the first quarter. Joe Flacco comes in. And there's an old saying about experience. And it says, the problem with experience is that by the time you get enough of it, you're too old to enjoy it. Well, Joe Flacco still has a great arm. He still makes good decisions. He's got an excellent offensive line in front of him, including a rookie offensive center in Tanner Bordellini making his first start. And you just marvel at Joe Flacco. The arm, like we saw Peyton Manning's arm go. We saw, you know, Brett Favre's arm go. Joe Flacco came to this league with Matt Ryan in 2008. His arm is just as good today as it was in 2008. I don't know how many years that is, 16 years, 17 years. I mean, Joe can still throw a football. He makes it look easy. I don't know if he worked up a sweat. Like, he gets the ball, you know, to Josh Downs. He gets the ball to Pittman. He makes good decisions. He's throwing no-look passes in the middle of the field. You know, Jonathan Taylor got busy. They ran the ball really, really well. Like, that was just – I'm just going back and I'm just thinking about Pittsburgh coming in undefeated with that defense. Joe Flacco, you know, Joe talked about it after the game. Like, he had legendary battles with the Pittsburgh Steelers, with Mike Tomlin on the other side, playoff games, AFC championship games. Like, he knows what the black and gold. He said he saw Ben Roethlisberger before the game. Like, he knows what the Steelers are. He knows that defense. He knows, like, yeah, I mean, you know, Hall of Fame defense coordinators are gone, but they still run a 3-4 defense. And they're still the black and gold. And their fans still travel and take over stadiums. Joe Flacco looked like he was, you know, playing like a Raven, you know, against the Steelers. He played great. And so the decision is, honestly, like, you have to give Anthony Richardson a chance. You know, he got hurt last year twice and then missed the season. Got hurt again. Got just, I don't know if it was Minkah Fitzpatrick who hit him or whatever. But, you know, here comes Joe. And you say to yourself, this Colts team, they're pretty good. They really are. Like, offensively, they got a very good offensive line. Jonathan Taylor is playing great. They ran the ball really well against Pittsburgh. Bordellini played really well as a rookie center, and they're against top-flight players. Keanu Benton and Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi played very well. Tight ends can block. They got a lot of things going for them. The quarterback, you know, the coach is a heck of a coach. He you know, Joe was there in Philadelphia when he was there. And you just say to yourself, Joe took Cleveland to the playoffs last year. You know, he came off the couch. He lives, I'm in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. He lives 15 minutes from me here in Audubon, New Jersey. He was on his couch. And you go, man, are the Colts better off right now? Just playing Flacco. Like, he can take a hit. He can move still. His arm is elite. He makes good decisions against a great defense. Like, can the Colts go and win the AFC South with Joe Flacco? I mean, he makes it – like, he's not throwing the ball into coverage. He's not sailing the ball. And look, Anthony Richardson's a ton of talent. Fourth pick of the draft. They might be better off with Joe Flacco. All right, that's it for today. That's been the Best Football Show. Thanks for joining me. Those are some of my observations, some of my musings. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to come back here tomorrow. There's going to be a lot more to look at. I'm going to see, you know, just study a few more games here, go over them, and kind of look ahead. Start looking ahead to Thursday night. Start looking ahead to the Jets in Minnesota and London and some of the issues that they have. Aaron Rodgers just missing on throws last week. We'll get to that. And the timing that has to get fixed now if that team is going to have any chance of competing for a postseason. Thanks for joining me, everybody. This has been the Best Football Show. I'm Brian Baldwin, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.